Good morning, everybody. I've been collecting ideas for a sermon for a while on prayer. And then, of course, last week, Bob gave an awesome message on prayer. And I was a little concerned that we'd be overlapping a little bit, but prayer in the Bible and the opportunities to preach on prayer are just endless in there. So, and God was good, and they don't overlap, but it continues, the importance of prayer in our lives. If you didn't get a chance to watch Bob's sermon, though, I highly recommend that you take a moment and watch it online. These songs, actually, when I gave the scripture to Kate that I was going to be talking about this morning, and then she picked the songs. I knew what the songs were. I never really looked through them, but I said, yeah, those look good. And when we sang them Friday and then today, I was like, wow, everything's in alignment. It's awesome. So I think in today's environment, we can all agree that there are lots and lots of more temptations all the time in our world. It seems like the devil's working overtime on ways he can cause us to stumble and draw us away from God. All we have to do is pick up our phones to do a search for something. Simple as weather, news, or maybe to buy something on Marketplace. but we're bombarded. I mean, literally bombarded with advertisements. They're all geared to grabbing our attention away from what we actually went there to do, to buy something we don't need, to visit a website that, you know, is not anywhere near what we were trying to do when we went on the phone, or even to view a lost cause or this cause or that cause. It's just, we're bombarded. We get phone calls from numbers that we don't even know. And then they try to get our personal information or steal our identities, convince us to invest in some quick, you know, get-rich-quick schemes. I may date myself a little bit on this next comment. It says, television and other forms of entertainment have been quite bad for some time. Long gone are the Father Knows Best days, those of you that remember Father Knows Best, when they showed a couple in a bedroom. They were in two separate beds. They kept it clean as could be. And we watched, you know, any TV show you turn on today, there just seems to be more profanity and more sex that doesn't even need to be there. There's, you know, good stories that just don't need those aspects, but they throw them in there anyway. I'm not saying everything's bad, and I think you could agree with that, but it's getting harder and harder to avoid those distractions that try to draw us away. Even in our healthcare system, you know, we take this pill or that pill to help with a shopping list of problems. And then all these ads on TV say, well, take this pill to counteract that pill. And it's like, it just keeps on compounding. I'm going to go off script a little bit, but my dad, when he was going to the vets for all his healthcare years ago, they kept prescribing different pills, and they never took them off him. He was on one pill for 25 years. That he should only have been on for a couple of months, but they never took him off it. They kept prescribing it for him. And that one of the side effects of that pill was dementia. And I'm certain that was what caused my dad's dementia. Yeah, there's even pills to counteract those side effects. I think I said that, but yeah. So none of these cure the issue. They just cover up the symptom without addressing the cause. We've been so accustomed to this that we just go along with the flow sometimes. We just, yep, doctor said to take it, we take it. And it dulls our senses and blinds us to the truth. We face so many temptations it becomes difficult not to fall prey to them and to sin. So what is a Christian to do? We could avoid all this and become hermits, but I don't think that's what God wants. He wants us to be in the world, spreading the gospel, being a light unto the nations. We were not to be of the world. So that brings me to the text for this morning. You may wonder why I'm going here, but you'll find out. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 36 to 46. You can open your Bibles to that if you want to follow along, or your apps. And what led me to that text was while I was doing my research on prayer, I came across a book which I've yet to read. I read the introduction, that was about it. It's called The Hour That Changes the World. And the title intrigued me, that's why I looked into it. Some of you may have read that, Carrie. I have not had a chance to read it yet, so I can't say I recommend it, but you may hear more about it in the future after I get a chance to read it. However, the reason I mention it is that the author stated Matthew 26:40 was what inspired the book. So that prompted me to, hey, what's he talking about? Why did he go there? So that's led to this message. So we'll start by reading those verses. So Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. It said, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so you men could not watch with me for 1 hour? The title of the book I was referring to. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, saying, Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. So there's also parallel accounts of that, Jesus' prayer in the garden in the books of Mark and Luke, with slightly different details, and I'll bring a couple of those in while I talk this morning. But my primary focus this morning is on verse 41. I'll make a couple other observations later on. Verse 41, Jesus says, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So, keep watching and praying. Those words reminded me of the account in the rebuilding of the wall in Jerusalem after the Jews returned from exile in Babylon in the book of Nehemiah. In chapter 4 of Nehemiah, we read that the people that inhabited the land around Jerusalem were not happy that the wall was being rebuilt. Those were the Gentile nations that had moved in after the Jews were exiled. The word got to Nehemiah that these people were conspiring to come fight against Jerusalem before the wall could be completed. The Jews were watching for the enemy, and they had heard the reports of the attack being planned. They were watching. And what was their response to learning that? They prayed to God. But that's not all they did. They set up a guard against the attack night and day. They established a watch. They kept watching. And although it doesn't explicitly say it in Nehemiah 4, I imagine they kept praying too. Ultimately, the wall was completed and the attack did not come. They were watching and praying. We need to keep watching and praying. There are many places in Scripture where we're actually told to watch. Psalm 141:3 says, set a guard, Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. This thing is dangerous, and we need to keep watch over it. The psalmist is asking God to guard his speech, keeping his lips from sinning before he says something he regrets. Psalm 5:3 says, in the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayers to you and eagerly watch. Again, the psalmist is praying and watching the first thing in the morning before temptations come his way. Proverbs 4:23, good one. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. When I read that, I immediately think of Jeremiah 17:9, which says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick, and who can understand it? So, yes, we need to watch over our heart with all diligence to keep it from deceiving us. And Proverbs 4:26 says, watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Again, watch our path and the Lord will establish them, where we're going. And there are many more. The warnings to keep watching can also be related to being alert. One Bible verse we should all be familiar with and have in our hearts about being alert is 1 Peter 5:8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The devil is always on the prowl, always looking for some way to cause us to stumble and make us sin. We need to be alert. We need to be diligent, watching for his schemes that try to pull us away from the Lord. Only by prayer and studying his word can we be ready to not become the devil's prey. That's why Jesus said, watch and pray that you may not fall into temptation. He meant it to be actions that we do before we fall into temptation. We see that same order in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're to pray that we're not to be led into temptation before it happens. To put that in the words we've been hearing a lot of the last few weeks, we need to make a preemptive strike against falling into temptation. We have the most powerful weapon ever created to combat temptation, and that is prayer. We need to wield it before we fall, asking God to help us recognize those things that are tempting us to go astray and to sin. We need to ask him to guard our hearts from entering into sin. And we should all be familiar with, as well, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But I want to focus on verse 7. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When I started looking into that will guard in the Greek, there's actually three different ways I think we can read this verse, and it's amazing. I'm going to read it all three ways. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will maintain a watch around our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That watch, again. Second way is the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will captivate your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It will captivate them. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will provide security for your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So all three of those ways have their action in advance of the event, before it happens, watching, captivating, and providing security. When we pray before the temptations come our way, so we receive the peace of God and can resist the temptations. The events in the garden are an excellent example of this practice. We see the benefits of watching and praying and what happens when we don't watch and pray. Mark 14:34 says that when Jesus walked into the garden, he said, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. And he went to the garden to pray, to plead with God to remove what was about to happen to him in the next few hours. Luke tells us that he prayed so fervently that his sweat was like drops of blood. An angel even came and ministered to him. Jesus ultimately gave it to God and said, not my will, but your will be done. On the other hand, Jesus asked the disciples to watch and pray. They did not. Instead, they fell asleep. They knew the right thing to do in their spirit, but they let their weak flesh win. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. They didn't prepare their hearts for what was about to come their way. There were, of course, two different results to this situation. Jesus' prayers gave him the strength to face the trial that was coming on his way, and he did not fall into sin. He could have called down legions of angels and defeated the soldiers that were coming to arrest him, but he knew that was not the Father's plan. He submitted to the will of the Father and was given the strength to complete the plan of redemption that was before him. The disciples, however, did not pray. And when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, they all fled, leaving Jesus alone. We read just the verse before my text this morning, Matthew 26:35. They said that they would all never deny him, but yet they did. They all fled. We need to follow Jesus' example. We need to watch and pray that we don't enter into temptation. We need to be watching and praying before the temptations come and not after. So many of us wait until the trials of this life come before we pray. Guilty. Then those trials grip our hearts and we get led astray and are in trouble. We fall into temptation. We get angry. We get stressed. We get anxious. We end up falling prey to the schemes of the devil, trying to draw us away from God. I'm not saying in any way that God doesn't respond to our prayers in those situations. When the trials come and we pray, he's there. But if we pray before him, we will be given the power, strength, discernment, and spiritual awareness we need to resist the temptations. We will show those around us how having Christ gives us the peace and the light during those dark times. We need to be alert and prayed up so we can be victorious when trials come on our way. We can't let down our guard or we will become easy prey for the enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The second observation I want to make from these verses is in verse 40. So Jesus says this. He says, "So you men could not keep watch with me 1 hour." I read that Jesus was admonishing the disciples. He was reprimanding them for not being able to pray for just 1 hour. He's almost saying that they should have been praying for a longer period of time. And I think we all need to listen here. As I said in my introduction this morning, there's a lot going on around us these days that is trying to tempt us and pull us away into the things of the world. So spending an hour in prayer should not be that hard. There's a lot to pray for. If we follow the example of prayer that Jesus gave us in Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, and pray for just a few minutes each of the things that are in there, it can easily take an hour or more. There's actually a mnemonic that you can use to remember the Lord's Prayer and how to go through it, and it's Acts. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Used that for years in my own prayer life. But just to summarize those things, we need to praise God in heaven. And just saying, you know, a few words about that is great, but we can go on because there's a lot to praise him for. We need to pray that his will be done in and modeled by our lives. We need to confess our sins to him and ask for his forgiveness. Ask for our daily needs to be met in our health, our provision, for food, for shelter. Ask him to guard our hearts from the temptations of this world. And ask for the needs of others to be met and to guard their hearts as well. Amen. Everything we pray for ourselves, we can ask for others as well. Amen. I know an hour seems like a lot, but just to point out what Jesus said they were doing, instead of watching and praying, they were sleeping. When they slept, they were not preparing for the trials before them. We can all gain more time for our prayers simply by getting up a little earlier in the morning. Many of us wanted to sleep an extra hour this morning, I bet. I know I did. But I'm going to speak for myself here and what I've done or what I did many, many years ago. And it improved my relationship with Christ immensely. I would get up early before work, and I purposely got up earlier than I needed to, so I would have that time with Christ. And in doing so, spending time in prayer, spending time in his word, my stress levels dropped. I was more discerning of the temptations that came my way. The trials in life did not faze me as much. Anger faded away. I am not perfect in all of this, believe me. There are times when those things come up again, but pray. If I didn't take the time each day to lay it down in prayer, I wouldn't be up here. I wouldn't be the man I am today, and I thank Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, for that. If you get up early in the morning to spend time with the Lord in prayer, it can actually add time to your day. God's got a different economy than we do. If we spend less time worrying about trials in life, it adds time to what we can do with other things. Yes. It is time well spent, every moment of every hour. And it just, the hour just reminds me. We sang in that song, every moment, you know. I have to get it to remind myself. Sorry. It was in the Lord, I need you. We sang this song in Haiti quite a bit, but we didn't sing it in English. And it's always hard for me to sing it because I'm always thinking of the Creole when I'm singing it. But where it says, every hour I need you, they don't say every hour. They say every moment. Chaque moment, m'besoinou. Every moment I need you. Think about that. They've got it right. We need him every moment of every day. Oh, and it, I mean, your hour doesn't have to be that one concentrated hour either. It can be morning, noon, night. It can be through. It should be throughout the day. We all can learn a Bible verse and memorize it easily today. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. What's it say?
Rejoice.
No. The next one. Pray without ceasing. Three words. It's like the second easiest Bible verse to remember. The other one's Jesus wept. So this, we should always be praying. Start the day with prayer. End the day with prayer. Pray at all times. Pray without ceasing. The last observation I wanted to make from these verses this morning is who we should be praying with. First, we see that Jesus went off to pray alone. He often did this. Throughout the Gospels, it talks about Jesus going off to pray. And he told us to do the same thing in Matthew 6:6. It's a quiet time to spend with the Father, free from disruptions of the world, and to build our relationships with him. Lifting up our requests to the one who knows our hearts and the one that has authority to forgive sin and the power to grant our requests. The second thing is praying with others. We see in verse 37 that Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John for the purpose of watching and praying together while he went off to pray alone. Praying together is a biblical thing. Our group, right? It was advertised this morning in the prayer meeting, which is coming up, and I'm going to say a little bit about that in a minute as well. There are many examples in the New Testament about praying together, and it has many, many benefits. It edifies and unifies the body as we come together in a common faith to pray together. It encourages those in the body who are struggling to know that the body is sharing in their sufferings. We share our sufferings. We pray together. It shows our love for each other when we share our concerns and offer them up to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit rejoices when we share with others, giving praise to our Lord and Savior for what he has done in our lives. And as I said, I'm going to get to it. Here at New Hope Chapel, we have times each week for men and women to meet in corporate prayer here in the sanctuary. The men meet on Monday at 6:30, and the women meet on Wednesdays at 9:30. I think the women are still meeting here in the sanctuary, yes. All of those meetings usually last about 1 hour. That's what they're scheduled for. They may go longer, and that's fine. But I highly encourage you to attend those meetings. And the church meets once a month, the last Sunday of each month, normally at 6:30 to pray for about an hour. I, again, encourage you to participate in these things. Come pray together as the body of Christ. Soph, could I have you? So, Sophie's going to come up and tinkle the keyboards because Kate has super church. But today, in closing, we're going to pray corporately. I know there's people in this sanctuary right now who are in need of prayer. If you'd like to have someone pray with you, raise your hand and we're going to gather around you. And then if you don't want people to gather around you, you just want to pray, you can sit right where you are and you can pray. You can pray with by yourself too. Lifting up these things to our Lord. So, when you're ready, if there are people that are in need of prayer, I know there are people here because I've prayed for some of you. Kevin, gather around Kevin. Gather around that Michelle back there. I can see through the lights. Gather around anybody else. Just let's all gather together and pray.